Have you ever been up against a wall in your life with no way to go forward, nowhere to turn around, no idea of what to do next? If so, then you have been in the same place that the Israelites find themselves in our story today. Today we find the chosen people of God, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in a very different place than when we left them last week. Last week, we encountered Joseph in prison, but eventually Joseph was freed, and Joseph's father, Jacob, and his 11 brothers and their families were all reunited together. And then the whole family came and settled in the fertile land of Egypt together. But now, 400 years has passed since that time, and 400 years is an awful lot of years. Almost twice as long as our country has been in existence. A lot can happen in 400 years. Now, during this 400 years, some of the promises that God made to Abraham are starting to come true. God keeps God's promises. God had promised Abraham that he would have descendants as numerous as the stars. And this promise given to Abraham is coming into fulfillment. There are many descendants of Abraham. The people of God have multiplied greatly, and yet this is exactly the problem, because this is what the Egyptian Pharaoh was so worried about, that the Israelites were growing in number. They were becoming more and more and more numerous, and eventually they might try and take over Egypt. And so the reigning Pharaoh forgot what Joseph had done to save the people from famine and instead begins to have the Israelites work as slaves instead, building the great pyramids of Egypt. The conditions were awful. Back-breaking labor. The people of God do not feel like the chosen people of God, but instead the abandoned people of God. If this is what it's like to be chosen, well, who wants it? The promise God gave to Abraham that he would have descendants as numerous as the stars was kept. But it seems like God has forgotten his promise that the people would live in their own land. So the people cry out to God in their distress, and God hears them and sends a deliverer, Moses. Now, Moses is a reluctant leader, but God convinces Moses that God will be with Moses. And so Moses goes to Pharaoh and asks Pharaoh to let the people of God be free. Pharaoh says, "No way." So God sends plagues that come over the land of Egypt. And these plagues prove God's power to try and to convince Pharaoh to let the people go. And each time during the plague, Pharaoh says, "I will let the people of God go. Just make this plague stop." But as soon as the plague stops, Pharaoh changes his mind. Until the final and most devastating plague of all, the death of the firstborn son. God tells the Israelites to place the blood of a lamb on their doorposts so that the angel of death will pass over their houses. And with this final and most devastating plague, Pharaoh tells the people to go. They are free. They quickly pack up their things and leave before Pharaoh changes his mind again. They are finally free. God has kept his promise. They are leaving their past behind, and God is leading them into the future with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, moving toward the promised land. Well, not so fast, because pretty soon they encounter a huge sea in front of them. They want to turn around, but Pharaoh changed his mind and comes after the people, this time with his army in tow. The people can't turn around because the army will now kill them. They can't go forward because there's a wall of water there in front of them. They have nowhere to turn. They are trapped with the wall in front of them, preventing them from going forward. Suddenly, slavery in Egypt looked better than the sure and certain death that they will experience at Pharaoh's army's hand. At least in Egypt, they were alive, but here they're trapped with a wall of water in front of them, nowhere to go. If you've ever had a wall in front of you, like the Israelites did, you know what they were feeling at that moment. They were overwhelmed with nowhere to turn, no idea of what to do next, everything closing in on them. They are trapped. These moments come to us in many ways, shapes, and forms. You just got a medical diagnosis, or maybe your health is deteriorating. You can't go back to the way it was. The future is uncertain and scary. There's a wall in front of you. Your marriage is in trouble. You don't know what to do or how you got here. You can't seem to get back to the place where you were in love, and you don't know what to do next. A wall in front of you. You've lost your job. The unemployment is running out, the bills keep coming, and you have nowhere left to turn. A wall there in front of you. Grief has overwhelmed you at the loss of a partner, family member, or friend, and you don't want to go forward without that person in your life. All you want is them back, the way it used to be. There's a wall in front of you. A dear family member has hurt you in ways you can't even begin to describe, or maybe you have hurt someone you love dearly. You don't know how to make the hurt stop. All you can feel is pain and anger and loss and resentment. And there's a wall in front of you. Depression or addiction or self-doubt or shame cripple your life. You can't make it stop. You try, but all you can see is a wall in front of you, and the army is closing in. Right now, you might be staring at a wall in front of you in your life, or you may have been in this spot before. If so, you are like the Israelites on that day, staring with the Red Sea in front of them and Pharaoh's army closing in on them. Nowhere to turn. All options have run out. A wall is all that they can see. In these times, when there is nothing more to do, when all you have tried, all the possibilities only lead to walls, dead ends, all you can feel is an army closing in on your back, you cry out to God, "Why have you brought me to this place? Why me?" All you can see is a wall. All the Israelites could see was that wall of water in front of them. But this story that we hear today is a story about God, about who our God is, about how our God works. And our God is a God who keeps God's promises. And so Moses tells the people, "The Lord will fight for you. You only have to keep still." All you have to do is keep still. You don't have to do anything. God will act. Just wait. Keep still. And yet keeping still is one of the hardest things to do, because we often want to try and solve it, fix it, make it better, find a way. But when there's a wall in front of you, you finally realize that everything you have tried has not worked. And so all that you can do is wait. Keep still and wait for God to act. The story of crossing the Red Sea is a story about God, about the kind of God that we have, a God who keeps promises, a God who does not leave people staring at a wall of water in front of them and an army pressing on their backs. But instead, God works in totally unexpected ways. For the Israelites, suddenly, the waters part. The wall is gone. Suddenly, there is a way forward, a way through. Not at all what they had expected, but a way that leads them to freedom. They are on their way to the promised land, just as God had promised them. And in these times, when all we see is a wall in front of us, our God will work. Many times in unexpected, unanticipated ways. All we have to do is keep still and wait. God will come and will fight for you. God will come in the midst of your pain and loss and brokenness. Maybe come to you through the presence of another person. Maybe through the voice of God coming to you in your head and your heart, bringing you God's presence and God's peace. It may be through the words of Scripture or through the prayers of another. Whatever the means, the wall suddenly opens and there is a way through. Now, the water doesn't go away. I mean, it's not that God made the whole Red Sea evaporate so that the people could go through. But instead, the water is on either side, still all around them. But somehow, in the midst of the water, God opens a way through the water, opens a way to lead the Israelites into a new life, into freedom. And God opens a way for us as well, not necessarily making our problems dissolve, but helping us to find a way through, opening an unexpected way to help us through. This is the very character and nature of who our God is. This story is a central story to help us understand who God is and how God acts, that God will fight for us. Because over and over again, we hear echoes of this story to remind the people of God who God is. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of slavery into freedom. This is who our God is. Our God brings us through the waters, brings us into new life, and brings us to the promised land. Our God does not leave us standing there between a rock and a hard place, leaving us there looking with a wall of water in front of us and armies pressing down on our backs, but God opens a way through the waters. If you've ever been in this place before in your life and God has seen you through, then you have a story to tell. The story of who our God is and how our God acts. And if you're standing there right now, staring at a wall of water with armies closing in on your back, no idea where to turn, no idea what to do next, then hear these words. Keep still. God will fight for you. In these times of desperation, when there is a wall in front of you, this is when God does God's most amazing work. I don't know how. I don't know when. It could be a while. But you're not alone. What I do know is that God will open the waters to lead you through, to fight for you, just as God led the Israelites through the Red Sea, parting the waters of the Red Sea and leading them through the midst of the waters, and yet the waters did not overwhelm them. Keep still. God will fight for you. God will lead you through the waters into new life, into freedom, because God keeps God's promises. Amen.